Praise God. I'm with Pastor Carter. I don't know whether to cry or dance or sing. I'm just overwhelmed, as always, when I come in here, just by the amazing presence of Jesus. God is here. He's here. He's here in this house. God is here. This is a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful. The joy of the Lord is in here. And I want, for those of you that might be visiting, but you know, that little feeling that you got right now, that feeling, that's Jesus. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what that was at one time in my life. I could just stay here for a little while, you know? You know, but that's just the power of Jesus. That touches our soul and says, I'm real and I'm alive and I desire you and I love you and I care about you and I want you to have new life in me. And that feeling that you have is the power and the peace of my presence. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your power. The power to change lives. The power to touch hearts in a way that no one else can touch. The power, Lord God, to transform, renew, and restore a life back unto you. God, we thank you that we're able to be here tonight in your church, in your house. Lord, we thank you that we can come into this place, this safe place, and experience the presence of Jesus Christ. We give you glory, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word that saves. And I ask God that your word would come alive, that you would touch the hearts of the lost, that we would receive, Lord, new life in you, and that it would be made clear through the power of the gospel. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Glory to God, amen. I'm learning so much about Jesus each and every day, just through my trials, through really tough days, through the good days. I'm realizing I cannot live this life without Jesus. I can't do it. And I just want to just in a few minutes, just be very personal with you and just be honest with you that I'm learning every day to rest in Jesus. And this is just the message that I want to leave with you. I love the opportunity that I can share with you just a message. And the message is not going to change. It'll never change in here. It's the same message. It's the good news of Jesus. And the message is you can rest in Jesus. And I'm finding that, man, in these days, man, it's tough, right? I mean, there's a lot going on, and we're pressing in, and Monday through Friday sometimes seems so long, but yet the year moves by so fast. I never really know how to explain that, right? I'm thinking maybe it's just me, but like in a week's time, it could be like, whoa, that was just a really long week. But then you look up, and like we're looking at November, December, and it's like, where'd the year go? And it's like, I'm telling you, it's almost like it's a rat race, right? Here in our city, as everybody's trying to move forward and go and green light go, and everybody's pushing and shoving, and I'm just this young guy from Virginia, right? That's getting old really fast in New York. And growing up in Virginia, it was my dream and excitement to come to the big city, to be in New York. And all, you know, I saw just a lot of fun from a distance and just the excitement. But boy, it's really rough in New York City. It's challenging. And I find myself, you know, just even in ministry now, and even just being a father and a husband and family and work and all that's happening. And through this process, God is teaching me how to stop and rest in Him and understanding who He is. That you and I, we can never find really rest for our soul, but only in Jesus. And I realize more and more, man, that the struggle, it's real, and there's hardship, and there's tough times. But through it all, there's a peace that we find in Jesus Christ and in Jesus alone. And some of these in small ways, like the Lord has just really been just encouraging me and just showing me just how true He is and how powerful He is and the love of the Heavenly Father for me. And I was walking early. I got up early this morning and I was just kind of walking around in the neighborhood and I just was just trying to pray, right? You know, I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you're like, I don't really know how to pray, or I'm trying to pray, and it seems like there's just a lot on the mind, and you're just going. And I just was walking this morning, and just honestly, I just was like, man, I'm just gonna shut up and just gonna walk. Just, I'm not quite sure, but I'm just gonna walk, right? And as I'm just walking, and I look up and I see the sky, and it just. I mean, I've read this before, right? But it really hits me this morning. It's like, nobody else could have created this sky but God. You know, and then it was like this, it was just simple things that came to me, and the reality of that God is the creator, and he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, he's in all of his glory. And I watched a bird fly by, and I'm like, you created that bird. Like, and I, if you're taking care of that bird, I know you're going to take care of me. I mean, I can't fly and soar like him all through the sky. But God, you're going to raise and lift me up in your power, in my weakness. And I'm going to be able to soar. But it's only going to be through you, Jesus. So show me yourself, right? The Lord took me to Matthew chapter 11, just a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 11, just listen. Verse 28, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest. You will find rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Man, this spoke hugely to me this morning as I looked at this, just in my own personal life, right? Because we're going and we're pushing and we're moving forward and we're trying to, you know, make inroads and just make things happen. And the rest that we need, we're missing it. We're missing it, and we're going. And here, me personally, I'm like, man, I'm just going. I got to do this for my wife. I got to do this for my kids. And I got to make this happen, right? And it's interesting because, you know, I've been learning a lot from my children lately, you know, and God's been showing me how much He loves me as a father in my relationship with my children, you know. And I find right now I've got my 4-year-old Zoe, she's 4, my oldest daughter Zaina, she's 9, and my son Zion, he's 12. And right now, you know, we're in this season in our family where they're like super active, right? They don't really know what the word rest means. You know, and it's just nonstop. You know, like my oldest daughter, Zaina, she's 9. She's just in this season where she's got about 60 questions in 60 minutes. I mean, she can lay them out all within an hour, right? And it's just, there's no rest. It's just, it's going. I thank God for mommy. My wife is strong because I go to work and she's still answering questions all week. Thank you. Thank you, honey. You're amazing. The ministry God has given you is amazing. I'm so glad you're doing it. But here I am, right? And here's mommy and I as parents. We're doing our best to answer every question. You know, right? Like, there's no rest for her. We want to rest. But there am I as dad, willing to answer these questions. And maybe not giving a full answer. Sometimes the answer is, shh, we should stop asking questions now. It's time to be quiet. You know? You know, I've got, but there I am. There's a response always. And I love just understanding just the Father in heaven and who he is, willing to be patient with us, willing to be there. He's ready and he's available. I mean, we're just going. We got questions. We got ideas. We've got thoughts. We got things coming out of our mind. We wonder this. We doubt that. We hesitate with this. And yet, here's God the Father saying, I'm available. You can find rest in me. You're putting in a lot of work. You're going and you won't stop. But there's coming a time where we as a people have got to recognize that we can't do anything without resting in the Father and resting in Jesus. And I realize that if I don't find that time, if I don't come to a place where I can rest in who Jesus is, rest in who my Father is in heaven, then what is all of my labor, what is all of my actions really doing if it's not under the covering and the blessing and the rest that I find in the Father? What purpose does it have? What's my motive? There's no greater motive than to be in this place where the Father is, in this rest where the Father is. Because in the rest that you find in the Father, in the place that you find with God, is a place where there becomes a true revelation of why we do what we do, and why we work, and where we go. There was a time in my life I had no purpose. There was no rest time. I was just doing, right? Trying to just achieve, trying to make it possible. I mean, I was in college. I was really just thinking I'm going to do it all. I was a scholarship athlete. And I was pressing forward. I wanted to play professional soccer. And I thought I was good. And I was creative. And I was starting little drama programs. And I was starting little gospel choirs. And I was doing all of these things, hoping that this achievement would make someone proud of me. And I wanted approval. I wanted affirmation. And all the while, I was wearing myself out because every bit of my agenda was not purpose for God. It was so that I could have some type of self-reward. It was in the hope that the spotlight would be on me. I wanted to make something of myself. It was me hoping in my own selfish ambitions that I could one day stand up in front of people and that they would look at me and that I would get the glory. And I burned myself out. I kept going and going and going, and all of a sudden, it seemed like just sudden I began to just drop the ball. And I began to fail in multiple areas of my life. And I had to come to a place. I had to come to God and say, God, forgive me, right? I'm sorry. I'm reminded, man, of just this story in Matthew 18, when the disciples, they come to Jesus and they ask him the question, who's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? That was me at one time in my life. Who's going to be the greatest? Not knowing simply the answer is, Jesus is the greatest. And the kingdom of God belongs to him. But the effort of the disciples and even me personally, right, in my life, it wasn't to glorify him. This idea of this kingdom and community, it was so that I could achieve and I could be in a position where people could pat me on the shoulder and I could feel good about myself. And I worked hard without any rest, without understanding what it is to be in the peace of God. I just had every attempt and every effort in my own strength to be able to get to this place where I'm doing great stuff, right? I just want to be great. And so these disciples, right, they come to Jesus, who's the greatest. And Jesus, just to summarize with you, He goes and he grabs a little boy, right? So here's these 12 disciples, and they're standing around Jesus and with this question of who's the greatest, right? I mean, I can imagine some of these guys like Peter, you know? I mean, he was mouthy, right? You know, it's like, I can imagine, like, who's the greatest? I've been a voice for you, and I love you. It's John, and I don't know if you know anything about John, you know, this guy was intimate and personal, and he loved Jesus, right? And I can imagine him just kind of soft-spoken, like, you know, I love you, Jesus. And you know, I don't know if everybody knows, you know, John wrote the book of Revelation, which is a very complex book, you know, and God revealed himself to John in a dream. And I can imagine him just trying to just milk just a little bit of what he's feeling like he's good at, right? Like, hey, who's the greatest? Because I get these dreams and I just feel like I get a fresh revelation. I mean, you know, isn't it amazing though, like, when we've got like a gift or like a talent, we'll ride or die with that, hoping that that'll be the one thing that'll make us great, when the only thing that is great is Jesus, and we're really not that great. And it's such a deception to think that we can achieve without Jesus, when really we're messed up people in need of a Savior. And all of these achievements and all of these things sometimes just cover up. Just that's what they do. They cover up who we really are: lost, broken, and messed up. And we need rest. And that rest for our soul comes from Jesus. So Jesus grabs this little kid. He grabs this little kid and he brings him right in the middle of his disciples, right? And I can imagine that, you know, TV these days probably want to make the kid like really nice and cute and, you know, a little cute outfit. And, oh, you know, how cute does he look? I picture Jesus grabbing like the most scrawniest, the one that's been playing in the dirt and the mud, and his clothes are all tattered and messed up. And he brings this kid right with these guys that have actually been following Jesus for quite some time. But he brings a kid and he says, listen. He said, first of all, if you don't turn from this, meaning you have to turn from this way of thinking. You have to turn from this selfish ambition, David. You have to turn from this idea that if you achieve, that'll make you great. You have to turn from your pride. You have to repent of your sins. You have to repent of those selfish motivations. You have to repent of those things that are internal, that are wicked and evil. You have to repent from that. And you have to humble yourself. And Jesus said in this scripture, he said, you're going to learn from me, right? You're going to learn from me how I walk lowly and humble. This is the example that we get from the greatest: humility, meekness, kindness. We heard some of this morning from Pastor Carter. But there's an understanding that I'm gathering more and more that, man, I've got to make my approach to Jesus and rest in him and come to him like a little child. I don't have to have it all together. I don't have to come. You know, I run into more young brothers and sisters. I love street evangelism. Man, if I'm not in here, man, I'm out on the street. And I run into more young guys on the street that I'll share with them the good news of Jesus and talk about his love. And we say this all the time. This young brother once said to me, he's like, you know, man, I really respect what you're saying. But you know, as soon as I get my life together, I'm going to come and give my life to Jesus. Like, but what sense does that make? But we do it, right? We do it. We too can get in this place where we feel like, man, if I could just put some things into place, and if I could just continue, oh Lord God, if I could just get this promotion, I will be at Times Square Church every Sunday. Lord God, if I could just get my finances together, Lord, I'll feel more comfortable just coming in. But that's exactly, we're the same as that guy on the street. Jesus brings this kid, right? You got to turn from this way of thinking. You got to humble yourself. Because this child right here represents the greatest. Whoa. And that rocked me. That Jesus would call this kid who hasn't even lived life the greatest. This kid who's vulnerable and weak, frail, dirty. He's the greatest? Yes. Because he's a complete dependent on the Father. He's a complete dependent on Jesus. Jesus says, you come over here, young man. Come here. And the kid comes. He doesn't know anything else to do but to just come to Jesus. He has no clue what he's getting into, but that's okay. No, if we really process this, this is the type of stuff that is a hindrance to you and I really receiving Jesus and finding rest. Because we're just running about trying to carry the burden of sin and guilt and doubt on ourselves. And Jesus is just saying, I know you're messed up. I know that you're all over the place. I know that you've been playing in the mud. I know that you feel guilty because you put your hand in the cookie jar. Just come here because I'm going to give you my greatness. Man, look at this. I'm almost done. Listen. He says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Man, I used to watch. I was really into Westerns, right? I still am. Like, you give me a John Wayne any day. And I'm good to go. My wife, on the other hand, that's not working. But that's okay. But so I've watched a lot of Westerns where they have like the yoke, right? Well, I've seen the old school Westerns where they have the fields and the crops. And, you know, they have the two cows and there's a yoke and it's connected to another cow. Anybody seen that? I know we're all from New York City, but anybody seen that? And there's a yoke. And now that depiction of a yoke looks like it really hurts. Like, I'd hate to be yoked up with a cow, right? A cow, and, you know, those guys, or like a horse, right? I don't know. Use your imagination. But, and then those yokes are like really like, it's like wood-based, it's uncomfortable, it's tight. And so the first impression when I read this when I was much younger, the idea of, because again, I told you I grew up with Westerns. So the idea of a yoke, I thought Jesus was giving a bad illustration of what it is to be tied to him. Now, wait, watch. But it's okay. The yoke that connects to Jesus, Scripture says, I didn't get this, but it's easy. It's easy. It doesn't get any more simpler than that, my brothers and sisters. He said it's easy. You know why? It's aligned with his love. His kindness, which means it's not going to hurt your neck, you know. The surrender that, when we surrender to Jesus and yoke ourselves with Jesus, it's not bondage. It's actually freedom. It's freedom. It's freedom. And he says his burden is light. His burden is light. He says, take my burden. Walk with me. Grab hold of the cross. The cross is a representation of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, right? He died on the cross. And this represents his love and his mercy for you and I. He died as a substitute. That's why the burden is light, because he put the burden on himself. We should have died. We should have been punished for being that scrawny, messed up kid. But Jesus says, you come to me because I've got forgiveness for you. I've got grace for you. I'm going to wash you up and clean you. I'm going to make something of you. It's going to be my greatness and my grace, my power in you. You're just an empty, broken, cracked shell. but I'm going to mend and I'm going to fill you up with my love and my power because my burden is light. I took on the burden of sin, your mess. I went to the cross for it. I was a substitute for you. We all should have died for our sins and our mess. But he's calling us unto himself, saying, come rest. Come rest. You've worked too hard on your own. You've tried to make something of yourself. It's been selfish ambition. It's been pride. But you need to repent of your sins. Come to me. My grace is sufficient. Come and receive my love. Receive my forgiveness so that you can forgive others. Man, the yoke is easy. I don't know, you know, I just really feel in my heart that there's some people here that you've not been able to rest. Haven't been able to rest. But praise God, Jesus is here. He wants you to rest. Rest in him. Rest in his great love. Rest in his great grace. Grace, it's this undeserved divine assistance, right? Divine, the power of God, which means you and I don't deserve his grace for us. Because, you know, if we think about it, right, man, I'm like, Lord God, sometimes I just, things that are in my mind that I'm wrestling with, things that are in my heart. Sometimes we have those days where we just want to quit and we just feel so weak, right? I don't know. Is it just me? But there's days that it's just overwhelming. And I'm reminded in this moment where I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. For rising up on that third day in all of your power and all of your glory. And because of that, I'm able to receive you and your power. I'm made a new man, a new creature, resurrected with Jesus Christ. And I'm able to walk strong in my weakness. It's just the good news. It's just the good news of Jesus Christ. Man, we need it. And we need to come to Jesus like that little kid and find rest in the arms of Jesus Christ. I close with this, man. Last year sometime, I was doing an outreach in Colorado Springs. And it was an awesome time. And we came to this particular community. And it was known as a methamphetamine community. And the police had said, well, you can go, right? You can go, but we're not going with you because we were going into the evening hours, like 9, 9:30. And they said, fine, you go ahead, but it's very dangerous. And those people are just, they're all on drugs and it's a crazy community. And so we went, we set up a little sound equipment and put up little lights and got on the mic and was making all this noise and knocking on doors and totally just disrupting the whole community because we were so desperate for them to know how much Jesus loves them. If that makes any sense. And here we are, you know, we start playing some music and some of the young people are sharing testimonies. And I get a real sense that I'm like, oh my goodness, this community is just really heavy. I mean, you can just sense like just the oppression, right? Just this oppression. And we do a couple of songs, a couple of testimonies. And in my heart, just me personally, I'm like, well, I think we should just pack up and go. There had been some people coming out, but they were just kind of standing around, a bunch of people that were high, and it was an eerie, dark feeling. And so we shared a simple gospel message. There wasn't much of a response, and I just was like, oh, Lord, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we shouldn't have been here. And one of our leaders in our team kind of nudged me as I was getting ready to get on the mic and just kind of close it out and just, you know, call it a night. And he's standing over beside a little, like, 4 or 5-year-old little kid. And he says to me, this kid is from the neighborhood. He just wants to pray. And in my mind, you know, I was like, we don't know who he is. I don't know what he's going to say. That doesn't sound like a good idea. And all of a sudden, just the Holy Spirit, like, really, like, knocked me, like, right in my chest. Like, let that little boy pray. Amen. Let that little boy, vulnerable, in need of a Savior, he desires to come up here. I had no idea. I was like, oh, all right. And I just said, all right, bring him over here. And I thought I'd be smart by like trying to figure out what he'd pray. And I said, come over here, right? And he walks over. I said, hey, I said, what do you want to do? I love kids. They're so honest. He goes, I want to pray. All right, cool. So hey, everybody. And it's just a young kid right here in the community. He just wants to pray, right? And we had kind of like a little speaker, like kind of across the front. So I grabbed him and I kind of plopped him right up on top of the speaker and gave him the mic so he could pray. And this was his words. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to my neighborhood. Dear Jesus, please forgive us of our sins. Come into our hearts and give us new life. Amen. I will never forget that, because what happened was a reaction. What happened was out of the prayer of a little child that came before Jesus in need of a Savior. The power of God showed up. And people began to weep and cry all throughout the community. And what I thought was just our plan to pack up and go, we ended up being out there for another hour praying over people, laying hands on the sick, people receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because there was one little boy who found his rest in Jesus, not in what he could accomplish, not in his own achievements, hadn't even lived life, but it was the power of Jesus that showed up, the greatness of Jesus that showed up in this willing vessel, this young child that says, I receive, and prayed a prayer of salvation. It's a lesson that I live with every day, realizing it's not me that's great, but I know who he is. I know who he is. It's Jesus. And he's great, full of mercy and grace. Could the worship team just come up? And could you stand with me? Praise God. I want to invite those of you here tonight that need rest for your soul. I want you to come forward. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. This is an altar call for those of you that need rest. Man, you know, maybe you just haven't even been feeling great. That's okay. You can rest in the greatness of Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, man, you just haven't been able to rest. You haven't been able to rest in your mind. You haven't been able to rest. I want you to just come forward. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Let's be like little kids tonight that really need a Savior. Little kids tonight that we've done it all wrong. We've made a bunch of mistakes. We don't have it all together. But there's rest in Jesus Christ. There's rest for your soul. There's rest. Come on, let's make an exchange tonight, right? Let's trade in those burden, the burden of sin, the burden of guilt and doubt and unbelief. Let's trade that in. Let's make an exchange and let's receive the love, and the kindness, and the grace of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so humbled to stand with you. Praise God. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I need you. I believe tonight that you have received me just as I am. Messed up, wicked, and in need of a Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. a substitute for me. I believe you rose again on the third day. Because of your blood that was shed on Calvary, I receive your forgiveness. And I'm made whole, cleansed by your blood. I'm a new creature tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I rest in you. I lay my burden of sin down. I receive your burden. I'm now yoked to you, walking in your light. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Praise God.